Expanded Universe, Season 13, Episode 7, Hot Darth Flavored Water and the Chocolate Aqualish. The book, Mall Lockdown, the year 2014, Chapters 28 through 31, with your hosts, Jeff and John. Let's go!
Hey everybody, welcome back. It's time to start another Expounded Universe, all about our wonderful Darth of Maul. I'm Jeff, joined as always by the other co-host, John. John, how you doing?
Oh, I'm great. I don't know what was going on with my voice there, but I'm apparently about to go prospecting.
Ah, one of our most classic of characters, the old-timey crazy prospector.
Oh, man. Had a little goblin in my throat, made me get all prospectory.
That's probably my fault. Early in the morning, before I headed out for some stuff today, my daughter and I were playing Goblin. It was a new game we just made up.
It's a new game where we send goblins to get you.
Yeah, we send goblins to your house to climb down your throat and kill you.
Yeah.
No, it was an easy game. I pretend to sneak up on her, very obviously, and while saying sneak with every step in a goblin voice. And then when I get close, she says, "You're a goblin! Go away, goblin!" And I go, "Ah, shoot!" And I pretend to go away.
Ah!
And that's the goblin game.
That's a great game.
Yeah, she's a huge fan of it. She also likes to pretend to be a dragon, so we're getting her nerded out nice and early.
Nice.
She just runs around the yard with her arms outstretched and says, "I'm a scary dragon. Fire breath."
Ah, little LARPer on the way.
Yeah, little LARPer. She already knows to say the attack that she's using because she doesn't just go whoosh. She says, "Fire breath."
Oh, yeah.
And it's very cute. You got to appreciate that. That she knows that otherwise people could interpret that noise as anything and not take the requisite points of damage.
Exactly. You got to announce first.
You do. So I hear you got your Stardew Valley game.
Indeed, I did. It's a good time. I have played it once with two people, and then I did two games by myself just, you know, to mess around.
Uh-huh. And it's an okay game?
It's good. There's definitely a couple things in there that I would change for solo play. Mostly just one of the things you have to do for, like, Grandpa's requests for the end game. All of them scale with number of players, except for one of them, and that one I just wouldn't use if I was doing solo.
Ah, fair enough.
And then there are some event cards that are only there to do, like, trading around or doing stuff with other players that don't do anything if you're solo, so just, you know, ignore those and draw a new one.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a good call.
Yeah. So...
yeah.
It works.
While Sage was playing around this morning, I tried out the solo play PvE mode of my game, the Dice Throne, with a character that none of us have, because you and I played the game a few times, neither of us have tried yet, the Huntress.
Mm-hmm.
And while I think the Huntress has a lot of powerful play in PvP, in PvE I feel like she's very wasted.
Aww.
It's a shame. She doesn't really bring anything to the party. Her whole deal is that she has a cat pet and can abandon damage to just let the cat pet tank, but everything does enough damage to kill it.
Huh.
So you basically use the cat pet to avoid one attack out of every five, and in the meantime, your actual defenses don't do anything.
Boo.
So not the best. Still neat, and I feel like she's got, like I said, she would be a dynamite character in the regular duel mode, so I'm looking forward to trying her.
Just a real wild cat.
Just awesome, with her cool cat, Neera, and her neat tricks and stuff. I don't know. Mostly, she just kept taking damage that I had no way of avoiding in the PvE game, though.
A real shame.
Yeah. So anyway, we read some Star Wars chapters, didn't we?
We certainly did. We are still continuing on with our Darth Maul in prison, and I gotta say, every time that they match him up, which, of course, the last thing that we had at the end of last episode was he went and delivered a big old skull to his little Chadrafan friend but then the alarm sounded, and every time they match him, I'm always like, what dumb shit's gonna happen now? Because you keep trying to escalate, and I don't know where to go. And sure enough, they kept escalating.
It's true. This is definitely another escalation. Things are just getting weirder and wilder every time. Although, I gotta say, and we'll get to it, because I think it's, what, the third chapter of the four chapters we read today? I'm not sure how they broadcast this one.
I mean, honestly, I don't really know how they broadcast any of them, but that's fine.
Yeah, we'll figure it out someday. But for now, it's still just Darth Maul kind of making his way, Jagannath, the Tooth, trying to make his way back to his cell so that he can get involved in this fight.
Oh yeah, he's making his way back to his cell, walking fast, inmates pass.
Mm-hmm. And he has to walk 500 miles.
Boo, different song, don't like it.
I couldn't even hear what you were saying. You cut out. I'm pretty sure you started a Vanessa Carlton song.
Of course I did. Why would I do any okay. other song?
Because several songs about walking exist.
Eh, well.
You could have gone with Nobody Walks in L.A. and changed it to the name of this prison, which I do not currently remember.
I mean, if you hadn't talked right there, I was about to say, well, nobody walks in Coghive 7.
There it is, Coghive 7. Thank you. We need a little bit more description than just Maul walks back to his cell, obviously. So now prisoners are starting to avoid him, but he's being mean and shoving them out of the way and knifing through them when he needs to get where he needs to go.
Well, yeah, he's pretty messed up as well because, you know, he just finished fighting the Viractyl that got a good piece of him in the midsection right before this. So he has just come out of a fight that is ridiculously difficult, and then the alarm sounded, so on his way back, he is still not doing wonderful.
Yeah, I still can't get enough of that Viractyl sequence. That was just great, where he was just, like in the background, running around, like, on the back of it, just sort of trying to take its head off directly. That was great.
Oh, yeah. Maul's got a very direct way to go about things, and it's fabulous.
Yeah, he's just an appreciable main character. I appreciate him.
Your directness, sir.
When he makes his way back to his cell, well, he's not alone in there.
Oh, no.
Because who has joined him but, what's his name, Smite?
Yeah, Smite, the young officer who has so far been double-dunked on by Maul, and has been shown to be basically just kind of a pushover that wishes that he wasn't.
Yeah. But here, something is different about Smite. Something's changed from the previous encounters.
Something's high about Smite.
Yeah, Smite is high on spice and probably also on life, because that's how you feel when you're high on spice.
Oh, yeah.
And Maul notices immediately. Maul is very perceptive about this sort of thing. So as soon as he walks in, he's like, oh, shit, that guy's high on spice. This is not a good sign.
Yeah, this dude definitely got fucked up.
Yeah. And he's like, what do you want? What are you doing here? Oh, you know they're matching you next, Jagannath. Or should I say, the Tooth?
Yeah.
And
no, I don't care. Of course they're matching me.
In fact, I have it on good authority that I'm going to be every match until I either get what I want or die. That's what they said last time I spoke to the warden directly.
I do. Just, if he is on Spice or Glitterstim, either one, I just wish that, because it's purported to have, like, psychic effects and you get to mind read, he'd be like, yeah, I'm all high and shit and I'm jacked up on juice, I'm gonna go fuck with that guy. Oh no, I can read his mind and he's even scarier than I thought.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But yeah, you're right, because Glitterstim in particular is supposed to give you just a little tiny bit of like force sensitivity for a brief period. Just not even really force sensitivity as so much as just like minor nearby area sensing.
Yeah, you're just supposed to get like a little bit telepathy.
But I get the impression that what happens is you get a little telepathy, and it's true. He could totally, like, read this guy's or Maul's mind and realize, oh, shit, Maul is not scared of me. He's just sitting there thinking about all the different ways he can murder me. But what actually happens is while that's the case, you don't care so much because, you know, you're high on spice. So he gets all high, he gets a little telepathic, and his first thought, and just immediately is like, eh, but I could probably take him. I could take him, and then I could probably open and found a restaurant.
I should buy a boat.
Let me take apart this typewriter. Yes.
Oh, man, I've got a pitch for a movie for you.
So he's here for a reason. We get the impression that he's not here on the warden's orders, but actually he is. His job is, and he also makes fun of Maul a little bit, by the way, for having a gash on his side from the Viractyl. He's like, you shouldn't have been fucking around with our Viractyl, you idiot. Now what are you going to do?
Well, you know, same thing I always do. Murder a guy.
Efficiently murder something. That's definitely what's going to happen. Well, here's what he's here for. He's here, or Smite is here, to handcuff Darth Maul's legs to his bench, so he'll be stuck on his bench for the next fight.
Yes, he has some Nyla steel zip ties, and he's just zip tying Maul's ankles to the bench. So he's like, ah, good, this way you can't hop around and get all ridiculous with it.
Yeah, and he's just like, well, maybe later I'm going to come back and see him. Maul's like, look, man, and I love this. This is a random moment from Maul that I like anyway. He's just like, hey, dude, get off the spice.
Hey, man, spice will kill you.
Spice is going to kill you. If it doesn't kill you, I will. But I'm just letting you know, it's going to kill you.
Spice is whack. Don't do it. Stay in school.
Yeah. And Smite takes his leave. And sure enough, right after he leaves, the warning bells have sounded long enough. And it's time for the whole machine of the Wonka prison to rearrange itself so that Darth Maul is in a fight.
Yeah, we get a whole bunch of him lurching around. He gets to be, you know, upside down, dangling by his zip ties and shit. And, you know, the standard rotation where all of the various cells and things are moving around. But at least for him, he's like, yeah, I know I'm going to fight. I don't have to be like some prisoners have to just dread every single time they go in there where they're like, oh, God, is it going to be me? And he's like, I know it is. It's fine.
I kind of appreciate the part as well where he listens and he can tell that he's passing by other cells. And he's just like, ah, yes, other prisoners. I might kill them later.
Yes.
But eventually it opens up into the familiar fighting arena, with a big difference being that his bench doesn't go away because he's attached to it. And then holes open up in the ceiling and the floor, and the room starts filling up with filthy, filthy, almost water.
Yep. That is it would be a neat cliffhanger, but it immediately just goes on to it.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole room fills up with water. He gets one last really good breath. And when I say water, I gotta be clear here. This water is very nearly opaque. They keep describing it as turbid, filthy, gray, silty, full of all kinds of nasty murk and grossness.
I mean, I have to assume that at least part of that is just the nastiness of the cell that they are filling, because it's not like anyone's going to come down here and clean this place in between matches.
Yeah, that could vary, or at least the water. I mean, I don't know. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been in a building where the fire alarm goes off and the overhead sprinklers turn on?
No. I hear it's nasty.
Very weird. Yeah, it's disgusting because the water sits stagnant in a dusty place for like 20 years, and then it turns on and rings all over you. It's only happened to me once, and it is the smell of it is almost indescribable.
Oh,
it's bad. So I'm guessing that's kind of what like this is. This is their fight water, and they use the same fight water, and they recycle the fight water every time.
I mean, I doubt you really use fight water, because this is a situation where, you know, fairly unique, because normally I wouldn't assume you have fully aquatic people fighting. Like, you would assume you'd normally just, even if you were like, oh, hey, you know, I'm a Mon Cal, I could be fighting underwater if I wanted to, but they're probably not going to care about that. They'll just match me up on dry land because it's a pain in the ass to fill up and drain two prison cells.
I mean, don't you think that would make it a little worse, rather? That instead of, you know, oh, it's rare fight water, that just means it sits stagnant for longer.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying like, for the, every time the fight got, like, water is good. I'm saying the fight water is nasty, but it's not like this is a regular occurrence.
Yeah, no, that's fair. This probably isn't the most common fight, but I mean, it's a gladiatorial arena. Every once in a while, you got to fill that thing up and let them have naval battles in it.
Hmm.
That's just what the people want to happen. So anyway, like I was saying, the room fills up with nasty water, and the way this one chapter ends is right at the end, he sticks his head underwater. He dicks his head underwater.
He dicks it.
And takes a look around in the fetid water, and just out of the corner of his eye, he sees two huge eyes coming at him, and then he gets punched. End of the chapter.
Yeah. And it is worth to note that not only have they filled up the entire room, so, like, even if he wasn't zip-tied down, it's not like he's going to be breathing up from the top or anything. And also, the water is absolutely frigid. Like, it has dropped, like, at least 20 degrees in there just from the water.
Yeah. So he's out of breath. He's trapped deep underwater and will likely drown. Something that is aquatic and fully capable of swimming is whipping around, kicking his ass, and he's quickly losing core body temperature. So
I like that
they did
you
indeed
had to,
top the Wampa fight.
You had to really specify that it is not only aquatic, it is capable of swimming.
Well, yes, actually. That makes perfect sense. I mean, sponges are fully aquatic and not capable of swimming.
That would be the match of the century. A sea cucumber versus Darth Maul. Who shall win?
See, I'm going only the sponge, and I'll tell you why. It's because a sponge would win in this scenario.
Well, yeah, because he wouldn't be able to fight it.
Yeah, he wouldn't be able to win the fight. It would just plop up on the other side of the dungeon, or the arena, and he'd drown.
Yeah, it's true.
So, anyway, we cut instead to Siddiqui Bleer.
Indeed. And she's watching the hollow of the underwater match and doesn't seem weirded out at all, which is strange given what we know.
Yeah, in fact, she's already gone to bat on this regarding the situation, because she's watching it happen, and Dakarai comes in, and she's just like, yeah, yeah, I know what you're going to say, but this is the way it's got to be.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, oh, this match isn't what your algorithm called for, but, you know, trust me, the Zabrak is a real problem. He needs to get wrecked, and you know, this is a fight that I wanted. I'm like, no, it isn't. You got hacked and this happened. Like, that's not what was this your was your plan also to have him fight an Aqualish?
It would be funny if it turned out that he ordered the hack and then it was just also the next fight. What if we later find out that Ismash the Slicer just couldn't do it?
Yeah, just fucked up and was like, oh man, it's a good thing that worked out.
Yeah. So she's basically trying to explain it to Dakarai, but Dakarai, we've explained a little bit about Dakarai in the past. He can't talk, or he won't, rather. He will not talk under any circumstances because he thinks that math is prettier than language.
Yep, he hates language, and he hates talking.
And he's extremely grumpy at the moment because he's come to terms with the fact that his sister cut a million corners to get the prison built, but by the same token, the thing he got in exchange for her cutting all these corners is he's in charge of the algorithm, and no one messes with the algorithm, and he gets what he wants when it comes to the algorithm.
Oh, yeah. He was supposed to be completely autonomous with that, just absolute control over it. So even though he didn't get his perfect gladiatorial nonsense, he was like, at least I have control over the math. And so not having control over that has exceedingly pissed him off as he takes like a printout of the two people who were supposed to fight today and just sort of shoves it in her face.
Yeah. And she's like, I know, but don't worry about it. It's okay. This is the way things have to go. We're fighting the champion until he dies. You know, that's what's going on. Okay, buddy. Don't worry. You'll get your precious algorithm back later. And even then, you know, she's lying because she's already announced that every fight's going to be Maul until he dies.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's about this point when she gets a phone call, and luckily, she's got one of them Star Wars-type phones where a wall just turns on and someone's looking at her, and there's nothing she can do about it.
Oh, yeah. You gotta love that instant answer, no input phone call video screen where no matter what, someone can just be like, hey, I'm here and I'm talking to you, and there's no privacy, and it's great, and I love it.
Yeah, just Spaceballs getting a call on the bathroom wall type fucking phone call. And it's what's his name, Dragomir?
Yeah, it is the head of the gaming commission.
Mm-hmm. And he's pissed off. And why is he pissed off? Well, because the fight announcement went out before the fight started, and it wasn't going to be this.
Yeah, no. The thing that Daiquiri shoved into Siddiqui's face, the actual match that the algorithm had put out, went out to all of the gamblers. Like, we had mentioned before that they send out a whole sheet of, like, this is the fight that's coming up, these are the stats for the fighters, so you know, all the things that you need to know about them. And it goes out, like, immediately when the bells start. So everyone was like, oh, cool, great, this is the fight we're getting, and started getting their bets ready, and then all of a sudden, Darth Maul's getting drowned in a pool, and they're not happy.
No, no one's happy. And this conversation between Dragomir and Siddiqui goes on way longer than you'd expect, because he's not just grumpy about what's happening. He's like, listen, this is the final straw. Chloris, that's his fucking last name. I've been trying to remember that for a while. He's like, this is legitimately a real problem. I am shutting off your access to being a betting facility.
Yeah,
you've been a loose cannon for too long, Bleer.
You have two options here. One, you have completely fucked up everything and deliberately defied regulations, or you've been hacked, and either way, we can't allow you to keep doing this shit, because it's bad for our business.
Yeah. And, you know, she just keeps being like, hey, come on, what are you even talking about? It's not that big of a deal. People change fights all the time. And he's like, no, this is the end. This is friggin' serious. There's only two options. And you're shut down. And and then she's like, how could you possibly shut? Oh, the thing he says is, not only are you shut down, but I strongly recommend that you put your prison on lockdown, because...
Oh, yeah. She gets all pissed off by, like, you're telling me how to run my prison? He's like, no, you don't understand. The Hutts are coming for you, and they have infiltrated your prison.
Yeah, and she doesn't even really want to believe him. She's just like, no, that doesn't make any sense. The Hutts have never shown us a modicum of interest in me at any point ever. And he's like, nope, they're in there. We know they're in there, and we know what they're doing. So if you know anything about Irem Radik, you should give it up now, because they're going to kill everyone in that prison until they find him.
Oh, yeah. And
you should watch out, because you've got a fucking uprising on your hands.
Yeah, and it's not just, like, a prison riot. It's not that the Hutts have infiltrated your prison as prisoners, because she points out, like, oh, well, if they try and do anything, we can just murder them. It's like, no, you idiot. The prison guards, the people that you employ that have the weapons.
Yeah, yeah, there's a... She's like, wait, what? No, you understand. They can't get to me. I've got bombs implanted on every single prisoner in the prison's hearts. If anyone tries anything, I'll just murder them. And he's like, oh, you sad idiot. You're doomed. It's the guards. And she's like, Oh, I guess I gotta call you back.
I do like that in this chapter we get a little bit that apparently Siddiqui and Dragomir had a thing at one point.
Oh, that's right, yeah. When she was just getting started as some kind of gaming person, he was also some kind of important gaming person, and she fell in love with his power.
Oh, yeah, she was managing the sabacc tables, and he was... all sorts of powerful, and she was like, yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah. and so he makes a little reference to it where she's just like, why would you tell me how to do this? Why are you telling me how to run my situation? And he's like, I don't know, because you're a crazy loose cannon and someone's got to take care of you.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, that's the first reference we've had to our relationship in forever since our relationship. And, but she has to shut it down. She's like, I can't spend time re-triggering old relationships now. So luckily at this point, he's like, look, I gotta go. And the phone conversation is over. And yeah. She turns around to Daiquiri with like a sort of, can you believe this guy kind of opinion, but he's not even paying attention anymore because the fight is super cool.
Oh, yeah, he's just watching the cool match through the incredibly brackish water that I'm not sure how they're watching through.
Like I said, I don't know how the hell they filmed this one. The other ones, at least, they, you know, they just put a camera in the room and they can kind of watch it. But here it's like, it's an opaque, it's a fight in an opaque fluid suspension. What are they, are they just filming foam bubbles at the top?
I mean, maybe they have really cool space cameras that can filter out dirt particles. I don't know.
Must be. Or they just extrapolate it based on data and then do a recreation without the fluid.
Enhance.
Yeah, or they just press the enhance button. That makes about as much sense.
Oh, yeah. They're just like, computer, please take away any graininess. And it's like, yes, working on it.
There is still a lot of water in the way. Ah, extrapolate from a theoretical database.
I have accidentally become sentient.
I am Professor Moriarty again.
Oopsie doops. That's the the famous catchphrase from Moriarty.
Oh, shoot. I'm Moriarty again, says Professor Moriarty.
Oopsie doops.
Okay, so let's get to the fight. Why not? It's the main event.
Hell yeah. So we get back to Maul, and he is underwater. His lungs are absolutely burning, and he is really messed up because when the inmate swam at him to begin with, he hit him directly in the diaphragm and knocked a whole bunch of his breath out. So the little bit he had managed to save got drove out of him, and he is, not doing good.
Yeah, he's almost out of air, and he starts to think, like, okay, maybe if I just use my powers of dark force power, I might be able to turn. Oh, shit, wait, no, do not allow yourself to show weakness.
Oh, yeah. He's just like, oh, if only I hadn't been bound and I had more air. And then he just hears Sidious's voice like, hey, that'll be a little bitch, baby.
I could stay underwater for hours.
Oh,
ladies.
No. Darth Maul, let me get you the wambulance.
I thought I taught you how to go down and stay down. Anyway, yeah, he gets that. He steals his resolve because of how angry he is. He's like, I'm mad that I'm drowning, and resolves to fight all the harder. And this results in him, well, still kind of looking around, trying to spot this monster, this Aqualish, as it comes in to get him. Because now, yeah, we know for sure he's fighting an Aqualish, not just some weird underwater monster.
Yeah, but I love that he gets the ingenuity here of, all right, I am strapped to the bench. I can't, like, try to swim up to maybe get some air from, like, a gap up at the ceiling. So he begins to unscrew the bottom of the bench, which apparently is not just, you know, completely a slab of steel, but I guess is hollow inside because he can get a bolt loose and then suck some air out of it.
Yeah, he's like, it's a neat trick. He basically realizes, okay, well, I've gotta do something. Maybe there's air on the other side of the bolt holes from where I am in this in the room. Okay, here's what I'm gonna do. I'll elbow what I think is probably the loosest bolt as hard as I can, unscrew it, and then stick my face against the hole.
Yeah, and just sucks air out of a bolt hole, and is like, ah, good. Now I'm not, you know, passing out anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it helps him to start. He immediately loses all the blackness that was developing in around the edges of his vision, regains a lot of his strength, and turns around to try and find that Aqualish. Unfortunately, when he tries to go in for a second breath, some bad shit it comes his way right away.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he does manage to fuck up the Aqualish with his first breath. Like,
oh, yeah, he gets a good piece of the Aqualish. It comes in, and he just jumps at it, because the Aqualish assumed he would be, you know, tied to a bench.
And fucked up and almost drowned.
Yeah, and so when he lunges up off the bottom and grabs the Aqualish by the tusk and tears his tusk off, the Aqualish definitely didn't see it coming.
No. He He definitely got a good piece of this guy. And, you know, he's going to swim away. The Aqualish is like, all right, well, fuck this. I'm going to come back again once this guy is more drowned, I guess. But when he goes to try and get another breath, ooh, baby, there's some little wiggly mandibles in there.
Yep, he basically breathes in a bobbit worm because he goes down to get another breath, sucks in, and immediately almost swallows something, coughs it up into the water, and it's a little worm.
Yeah, a thin white worm with little mandibles wiggling around, and apparently the hole is just full of them now.
Uh-huh. And he's just like, well, shit, now I can't breathe worms. This sucks.
Ugh. Now, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah?
Do you think these worms are the whatever wolf's babies?
I mean, this is definitely what that is, right? Because we had a reference to how there's a wolf worm patrolling the under levels of the building, eating all the corpses and so on, and infesting the place with its babies. And the next set of chapters that we read through, here's a bunch of baby worms.
Yeah, I have to assume this is them. So,
yeah, so this is the baby worms. Now, here's a question I have for you. Are the worms, or is the big worm, Iram Radik?
I hope so. That would be great. If everyone's like, who is Iram Radik? This amazing, ridiculous engineer is like, oh, it's a big worm and it lives in a prison. It eats
bodies.
It's
a big worm. It wants there to be thermal detonators for some reason, but otherwise it doesn't really do much.
Mm-hmm. It eats parts and then shits out weapons.
I'll be honest, there was a point before this chapter when we established that it has little babies and they look like tiny little worm sperms. I was kind of hoping that the wolf form of Coghive 7 was just a super overgrown hut, like another Beldorion.
Mm.
That Iram Radik was just like some hut that's like 80 feet long, that's just wandering around in there being like, yes, weapons. But no, apparently it actually is some sort of giant worm. I'm just laying even odds on it actually being Iram Radik right now.
I would love it. I hope that is the case.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Iram Radik is going to turn out to be Coil. I feel like that's a pretty likely option.
It's very likely at this point, but...
Yeah. But who knows? This guy wouldn't shy away from introducing who Iram Radik is at a random point later and not having it be a character hidden in plain sight the whole time.
Oh, yeah. If he was like, nah, man. Iram Radik. Big fucking worm. Who knew? Anyway.
Iram Radik is whoever. There used to be a different Iram Radik, but he retired and nominated this giant fucking worm to be Iram Radik. You'd make a good Iram Radik.
Just put a little sticker that says, hello, my name is Iram Radik on a big worm and was like, good enough.
Done. Now I shall retire. So, at this point, I think Darth Maul more or less just kicks open a hole in the bottom of his arena.
No. So...
Thank
that
you,
because
I forgot how
happens.
He moves. I forgot how he got to the drainage channel, so I really should have just said, hey, John, how does he get to the drainage channel again?
Instead of just, you know, guessing.
Guessing? Yeah, because
well,
I don't remember.
We get a callback to the previous chapter when he was talking to Coil, and Coil was being all weird and, like, mystic, and he remembers his little rhyme, slimy to touch, greasy to feel, but mix me with blood and I'll eat through steel. And he's like, oh, shit.
Oh, shit, that's right. I forgot all about this part. And it's a neat, I mean, it's stupid, but it's at least a kind of a neat part.
Oh, yeah. So he finds this weird accumulation of red gunk at the bottom of the bench, which at this point I have to assume is, I don't know, probably the baby's poop?
Well, there's a bunch of options for what this is, because it's like this red, greasy ooze that's stuck to the bottom of his bench, so it might just be that it's a fungus that grows all over the prison. Or, and this is what I kind of think it is a fungus, but it's one of Coil's projects, and he had some smuggled into Darth Maul's chamber so that he would have this weapon and the rhyme to go with it.
Nah, I think it's just worm poop. I think that's why you find it all over the prison, is because it is full of these worms, and everything they eat, they crap out this red-brown goo.
See, I worry a little bit about the concept of it being just worm poop and it being really easy for everyone in the prison to get face-melting acid, because this is the first we're hearing about it.
Well, how many people do you think are like, all right, I'm fighting for my life, I better go see what this poop does? I better start doing scientific experiments.
No, you're not wrong there. The reason I have my suspicions that it's a coil thing is just because it's immediately after Coyle set up the last deal, or set up the rhyme a chapter or two ago. And also, yeah, you're right. Very few people, when fighting for their life, are like, I'll try rubbing poop on blood. But blood is not a rare commodity in this prison. Someone would eventually put two and two together, and word travels very quickly in a prison.
Hmm.
So that's why I'm leaning towards it's, even if it is worm poop, which I have no problem with it being worm poop, I think that it's a plant, and it's not in everybody's arena or room. It's a thing that was specific to Darth Maul just this time.
I don't know. It would be pretty hard, given that he was talking to Coyle not but 4 minutes before he got to his room, and Smite was in the room waiting for him.
Coyle has mysterious ways.
Coyle works in mysterious ways.
Oh, they're so mysterious. Who knows exactly how he did it? I'm just saying, I think he did it.
So anyway, Maul grabs, like, a handful of this goop and just runs some into the wound that he, like, gave on the top of the head of this Aqualish. He gave a little laceration on his scalp, and he's just like, here, have some of this. And it immediately begins to, like, bubble and burn through his skin and bone.
Yeah, he, like, gets all fizzly and sizzly, and bits of him start falling off into the water, and he is shocked and screams underwater, and that is the exact moment that Maul needs. He pounces, he just keeps rubbing goop on this guy's various wounds.
Oh yeah, shoves his head wound onto the Nyla steel that's holding him down, and the acid just immediately eats through that, and then he just shoves his face into the dirt until it melts through the ground.
That's how he got through. Yeah, it's amazing. Just grabs him by the face and uses him as a melting tool to get through. As soon as there's a hole through, all the water starts rushing out, and then the two of them also rush out with the water.
Oh, yeah. So they're out of the cell and into some drainage area, and Maul is able to, like, essentially get enough oxygen to get his shit together to throw the Aqualish up onto some platform, and then spring up next to him, and he's like, all right, good, I'm not wasting any time. Yo, are you Rook?
Yeah, and he's like, yes, I'm Rook. Obviously I'm Rook, but what the fuck is going on? I wasn't supposed to ever fight.
I was told I would never have to fight. And he's like, oh, well, that's interesting, because now I'm going to murder you unless you tell me everything.
Yeah, you saw what I can do with this goop. I will keep using this goop until your face melts off. What do you have to say to that?
Well,
okay, what do you want, is basically where he goes. He's like, look, I know you work for Ibram Radik. So basically Maul is going to press him at this point. Like, what do you know? Well, you obviously work for Radik. Hook me up. And just like every single other person in the prison, this guy, Rook the Aqualish, is like, I can't. I've never met him. I've never even spoken to him. It's all indirect.
Yeah, I have no idea. Nobody can get to him. And he's like, all right, well, then I don't need you. Time to go melt your face off. He's like, oh, no, yeah, wait. I can tell you they smuggle in the weapons in different pieces. Yep, already know that. So,
yep, that's not news.
You got anything new for me? They collect them with birds?
Oh, okay. That is modestly new.
Yeah. Ooh, I have to follow the claw birds. And then I'll find Radik, or at least where they're taking Radik's pieces once the shipment comes in.
Yeah, but Maul's not done, so he's just like, hey, I'm gonna need more than that, or else I'm not kidding, I'm gonna melt your face off. And he's like, that's all I know, I swear. Give me the name of the go-between. Who's the person that talks to you who talks to Rook? If you give me that, I'm not gonna melt your face off.
Yeah, and he's like, all right, I don't know who... what anything is. And when asked who else is above him, all he does is make a circle on the surface of the pipe. And he's like, that's all I know. Which obviously, yeah. I mean, it's a zero. Come on.
Oh, yeah, right? It's obviously a zero. He draws, which is funny because you'd think he'd be like, it's zero. That guy that it is out in plain sight all the time and everyone in the prison knows.
I mean, maybe he's never met with Zero as far as, like, I know that this is who my go-between is. He's just been like, oh, whenever I need something, like, a letter shows up and it's got a circle on it.
Yeah, that could well be. But you'd think he would have put two and two together. I don't know.
You'd think. It's not difficult, but still, whatever.
So, that's something new, at least. I mean, it's not much to go on, but it's something.
I mean, Zero was working for him back when Artigan got kidnapped from the med center. He was one of the two who was like, hey, Radik says you fucked up.
Yeah, and at this point, he's like, all right, so you're going to let me live now, right? I gave you something. And Maul's like, oh, no, you were dead the moment you were matched against me. That was never in question or in dispute. But because I'm a man of my word, I will now kill you very quickly.
Yeah, I will not torture you to death with acid. I'll just snap your neck real quick.
And indeed, that's what happens. He just grabs him by the tusks, probably by one tusk and a remaining chunk. And again, I'm wondering, I don't even think Aqualish have tusks. They have like a butt, right? They have like a face butt.
I mean,
are those tusks?
I feel like that's what the author was thinking. Like, oh yeah, obviously this face butt is a tusk. Like, that's what that is.
I'm looking at pictures of them, and Ponda Baba is a very weird Aqualish by comparison to, like, almost every other one of them. Most of them, that tusk area isn't colored like peach. It's usually white, and it's visibly more recognizable as tusks.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at certain ones, you're like, oh yeah, that's very clearly tusks. But I assume it's just, if all you saw were the movies, they didn't actually have, you know, tusks to use. It was just a weird mask that was made of rubber and pink, so it jiggled and looked like flesh.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? There are pictures of it. Looks like the spiderier the Aqualish is, because, you know, Aqualish exist on sort of a walrus spider continuum.
Oh yeah, we have done Aqualish before. Yeah. For the bonus content, go to patreon.com/systemmastery at the $2 level. We find things on Wikipedia, and we have talked about the Aqualish before and their weird finger history.
Oh, yeah, because they have two different, there's like two subspecies of them. One of them has claw hands, the other one has hands. But apparently also some of them have two eyes and some of them have four. It's almost like they're trying to justify a species that was drawn incorrectly in comic books and role-playing games for 20 years.
It is exactly like that.
Yeah, but it looks like the spidery they are, like the more likely they are to have eyes, the more they look like tusks up top. I'm seeing pictures of one right now that just looks like an orangutan. Like, it doesn't have tusks at all. He has like a mouth. And I'm sure there's a perfectly logical explanation for it that I will get to someday.
Someday.
It doesn't matter much here because Rook is dead.
Yep, Rook dead. And that is the end of our chapters for today. Maul is one step closer to the edge.
That's the end? I thought that was just three chapters.
Oh, no, wait, that's right. We do have one more. Oh, I forgot that we have to go back to Sidious.
I've never been right before.
Oh, God bless. The spirits did it all in one night.
It's a Mario Day miracle. By the way, folks, Inside Baseball, we recorded this on March 10th.
Inside of a baseball.
Yeah, inside of a baseball. That's why it's famously all inside baseball knowledge is knowledge that is gleaned inside of a baseball.
Yeah, if you can get inside a baseball like a genie in a lamp, then you too can be blessed with baseball knowledge.
Obviously, it's difficult to take advantage of because inside of a baseball, it's far too dark to read. But this is This is, of course, the original origin of the phrase.
Of course.
Yes. Great. So, yeah, we have one more chapter. He basically is back in his prison cell. Actually, he's not in the prison cell. He sneaks to the morgue.
Yeah, because he's got to use his little secret holo transmitter that nobody knows he has. So he has to find some little nook somewhere where no one's going to be able to see him use it.
Exactly. And he's going to call Darth Sidious. And this is not an especially quick conversation. And, you know, it's funny because he calls he gets Sidious, like, on a bad day, basically, is what happens here.
Oh, I have to assume that, like, either he's heard that, Plagueis is closer to getting the information that he wants instead of him, or something, because he is on edge. Like, good old Daddy Palps is not having a good time.
Yeah, he is ticked off right now because Maul calls him and he's just like, what? And he's like, okay, I am still endeavoring to. Jesus Christ.
Why are you even calling me if you don't have anything to give me? Ugh.
You only call me if you have the information.
Yeah, but I have a little bit more than I used to.
A little bit? That's useless to me. I want none of it. I only want the fucking information. And it's just, it's great. He's even like, maybe if you just let me use the dark side a little bit?
Okay, you little bitch. Nope.
That was a bad idea to say that. Because what happens is, halfway through the sentence of please let me use the force, he gets force choked.
Yeah, he's just like, all right, you want to know about the force? Here you go. I'm going to choke you out. And I'm going to be like, hey, man, how about, instead of excuses, you get me results.
Uh-huh. And Maul, thankfully, is just able to kind of nod and is immediately released after he nods in assent.
Yeah, and I love, again, fucking Maul, for some reason, never gets mad at Sidious.
No, he can't. Sidious is just like, look, this is the deal. I guarantee you that Iron Reek is in there. You have to have found him already. It's insane that you're failing me this badly. And I'm going to tell you something else. You're not alone. There's other people in there looking for him, too. Do you understand what that means?
Yeah. And even after he's like, uh-huh, and the force choke ends, and before he can even do anything, just the call goes out, he's like, aw, something's worrying my master. I hope he's okay. And you're like,
yeah.
You beaten dog.
Oh, yeah, that is exactly what he is. But it's just neat to catch Darth Sidious on a bad day. Like, the difference between that and his usual cackling, evil, self-assured self is noticeable.
Oh, yeah. Normally, you're like, okay, he's going to be an asshole. But you're normally thinking of Palpatine as being, like, the kind of asshole who's like, I'm a jerk, but you love me. And this time, he was just like, no, I'm in a bad mood. I just had a meeting with my lawyer over alimony, and I cannot deal with your shit right now.
They only let me see the kid on alternating weekends, and freaking Christmas isn't one of them. And I just, I got him a PlayStation 5.
Yeah, just the real angriest that we have seen him, and zero shit-taking. Not willing to be like, oh, here's cryptic things for you to think on. He's like, hey, quit fucking up. I'm about to murder you if you don't get killed yourself. You begged me to do this. Oh my god, why are you such a failure?
Yeah, no, it is very, very impressive to see. But yeah, just like everybody else does whenever anyone calls anyone else from this super secret prison, he angrily hangs up immediately before Darth Maul can choke out another sentence.
Oh yeah, god, I love, there's even a bit where he's like, oh, my loyalty to you is beyond question. I pledge my very life to you. And he's like, I don't give a fuck about loyalty. I want results.
Yeah, exactly. And that actually is where the chapters end, with him kind of looking out the window of the door of the morgue, getting ready to go back up there and being like, I pledge myself to you, oh master.
Oh, I dedicate my life, all my life for you, Master Bumpty Bump.
Mm-hmm.
Maul is now the trash can man from The Stand, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. Very well done. I don't know anything about The Stand.
It's okay. I figured you wouldn't, so I would explain myself.
I appreciate it. Thank you, thank you, and thank you again.
Indeed.
Okay, so that's pretty much the end of these chapters. We'll be back with another five next time, but in the interim, you should probably go check out our Patreon, huh?
Hold on. I do want to say there is a huge explosion at the end of the chapter. Like, there is a cliffhanger.
There's a cliffhanger, because there's always a cliffhanger. But yeah, it's like a huge kaboom goes off, and it's described as a red and black explosion in his face.
Yeah, and that's it. He knew no more, so I guess probably got knocked out.
Yep, and who knows? Who knows who did that to him and is going to now interrogate him? I'm guessing it's the guards.
Well, I mean, it's got to be either the guards that are part of the huts, or it's more Irem Radik bullshit.
Yeah, that would make sense. So there you go. That's that's the end of that. Now, can we talk about the Patreon?
Sure. You know I love talking about patreon.com/systemmastery.
Mm-hmm. We're at the, if you support us at the $2 level, you'll unlock bonus content, at which we go to Wikipedia. We find silly stories from Wikipedia, history far and wide from all of Star Wars, and we come back and tell them to each other and to you.
Indeed.
And it doesn't just unlock that either. $2 is also enough to unlock the basic level, where you get a couple of System Mastery bonus episodes. So you're basically up to 6 bonus episodes a month for about $4 a month. And it's a damn good deal at that range. But if you want more, there's the $5 level for yet 3 more shows per month.
Mmm, yes. So much content.
So much content. We make so much.
Too much content.
And if you want to get your hands on it, that's the easiest way to do it. Otherwise, you can stick around, because we're going to put out another episode of this for free next week, just like we always do.
Oh, goodness gracious.
And I'll tell you what. Until we do that, I've been Elan Sleazebagiano.
And I love Drowning Pool.